Hey everyone, it's Marvin. This episode of Books and Boba is brought to you by Home Interrupted, a new podcast from our partners at Feet in Two Worlds. Climate change affects everyone, but it doesn't affect everyone equally. Immigrants often bear a unique burden due to climate change, but they're also leading the way with impactful solutions. Feet in Two Worlds, the news outlet and journalism training organization for immigrant voices, presents Home Interrupted. From flooded basement apartments in New York City to indigenous Maya farming practices in Nebraska, Feet in Two Worlds Home Interrupted brings you deeply reported original stories from across the United States. Episodes drop each week starting April 2nd. Find Feet in Two Worlds Home Interrupted wherever you listen to podcasts.
You're listening to
Whoa!
Potluck.
Hey, and welcome to Books and Boba, a book club and podcast featuring books by Asian and Asian American authors. I'm one of your hosts, Marvin Yue.
And I'm your other host, Rira Yu.
And welcome to our end of June episode, where we're going to be talking about our June book club pick, None of the Above by I.W. Gregorio. None of the Above is the... I'll read the...
The book jacket.
So when Kristen Latimer is voted homecoming queen, it seems like another piece of her ideal life has fallen into place. She's a champion hurdler with a full scholarship to college, and she's madly in love with her boyfriend. But a visit to the doctor throws everything she thought she knew about her perfect life into question. Kristen discovers that she is intersex, which means that though she outwardly looks like a girl, she has male chromosomes, not to mention boy parts. Dealing with her body is difficult enough, but when her diagnosis is leaked to the whole school, Kristen's entire identity is thrown into question. As her world unravels, can she come to terms with her new self?
Yeah, I guess before we get into like the plot and our general impressions on the book, I think it's very important to preface what our knowledge was on intersexuality and I guess like different types of sexualities and gender roles. Like, I think it's really important to like cover that because I think like depending on like where you grew up or like what kind of high school you went to, like that level of education can be different.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like for me, I guess I'm from Georgia, and even though I'm from Fulton County, like which is like the same county as Atlanta, pretty much.
Okay.
It's there's a lot of like wealthy people there. Like it's like upper middle class to like, you know, pretty well off middle class people. And education's pretty great, but I would say that like my sex ed was not like not the best.
I mean sex ed in terms of gender education was still pretty I don't know how progressive it is these days, but it was still pretty much like, you know, they split up the boys and the girls in the different classrooms and they kind of play a video. I don't know how
it
was for you.
It was the same for me, but like, you know, usually the videos are with like real people, right?
Mm.
The video that they showed us was cartoons and it was really hard to like get correct information because it's like, it's cartoons and... You know, like Georgia, I would say even if you live in the Atlanta area, it's very conservative. Mm. So, and definitely like religious, a lot of like Christian organizations and churches around around Georgia. So, so it was definitely like they would do the whole like condom thing and like on the banana, but they definitely did not cover like transgender, gay, bisexual. They didn't cover any of that when I was in high school.
Yeah.
And then I ended up going to NYU, which is like one of the most liberal schools in the country. And I remember it was kind of like a culture shock, even though like I would like to say that I didn't grow up being discriminating against people with different different genders and sexualities than me, but quite frankly, I just didn't have the knowledge.
Yeah, and when you don't grow up in a environment where that kind of openness is
A, allowed and B, encouraged, it's easy to, you know, live your life thinking that, like, it's easy to live your life not having those experiences. Like, even for myself, you know, I grew up in the San Diego Valley. And even in our sex ed class, we didn't really talk about homosexuality or LGBT issues as much.
I mean, like, growing up, like, I definitely knew, like, what a gay person was, right? Mm-hmm. Like, but at the same time, I didn't quite understand when I was, like, 16 years old, like, you can be gay, but you can also be, like, say if you're a guy and you like guys, like, I didn't quite understand that, like, you can be gay, but also, like, masculine, quote unquote, in right, like gender right. roles. Like, I like there was like this misconception of like, oh, gay guys are like feminine and like they talk in a very like certain way. And like, you know, once I went to college, a lot of my classmates were gay or bisexual. And like, I had to like ask them a lot of questions.
But that's good that you ask questions instead of like kind of closing yourself off, because there's that reaction too, which is like, oh,
yeah,
we can't be friends anymore.
Like, I remember I had like one, I had a couple of classmates who were transgender, and this was like right around like freshman year, right? So they may have come from like the middle of nowhere, like like Kansas or like a very rural area, and once they come to the city, they start their transitioning. I remember it was like really confusing for me because I didn't understand pronouns.
Right.
Because I was just like, oh, wait, like transgender, does that mean that like you're also transsexual? Like I really, really had to ask a lot of questions. And thankfully, like NYU is very I think within the first week of orientation, they like hammer those things into you. because you're in the city, you're in Manhattan, you're going to meet people of very varying sexualities and races. And
yeah.
So, but like intersex is still something that I, like before I started reading this book, I didn't really know much about it. Like I knew maybe like the general definition of it, but I didn't quite understand the science behind it. And I also didn't understand like, I guess like the social stigma of it, like how much prejudice and how much discrimination they have to like go through.
I mean, I think full disclosure, both Rira and myself are straight heterosexual.
Yeah, we're cisgender. Heterosexual.
So if we do say anything incorrect or wrong, feel free to correct us on our forums or on Twitter or whatever.
Yeah.
We do want to learn too. That's part of the living in this, you know, in our culture, in our times, is being open to always learning and like being aware that you don't know everything.
Yeah.
And
you learn by making mistakes.
Yeah, and saying sorry and like,
and also,
I didn't
like,
know that.
Don't like, yeah. we say like, oh, if we say anything incorrect, like please feel to like, you know, let us know. But we also mean like, don't crucify us, because we are trying. But the reason why I assigned this book for the month of June was because, you know, it's Pride Month.
Mm-hmm.
And while there are a lot of books with lesbian, gay, and even bisexual protagonists written by Asian and Asian American authors, I feel like there's not a lot when it comes to intersex.
Yeah.
Like, I can only think of maybe like one or two books, and they're not written by someone of Asian descent,
right?
So this was really the only one I could find that was like on intersex and written by an Asian American author. So
yeah, and I'm glad you did, because I feel like regardless of my thoughts about the book as a whole, I think I learned a lot about just seeing the world through the experience of Kristen.
Yeah. And the author, I.W. Gregorio, she is actually
a surgeon, right?
Yeah, she's a surgeon. Yeah. And I think more specifically, she's a urologist.
Okay.
But the protagonist, Kristen Latimer, she's actually based on a real patient that Gregorio treated
mm-hmm.
when she was doing her residency at Stanford, I think.
Yeah. A young girl, right?
A young girl, and she was actually from like a poor background, and she was she really didn't have much of a support system.
Yeah.
And Gregorio said, in, I think it was like in the acknowledgements, she said that like after she treated the patient for surgery, like she had like surgically removed the like the male
testes,
the testes. But afterwards, she never saw that patient again. And she was really concerned that like because she didn't have a very strong support network, like what would happen after surgery, like if she would even have people that she can turn to ask questions.
Yeah.
So like I think that was why she was really like she was inspired to write this book.
It makes sense because, you know, as we've talked a lot about representation in media and for us in literature, you know, being able to have people you can relate to for any of your like your identities is huge. And it kind of makes sense that like this book, kind of the scenario that it puts its protagonist through is kind of like the worst case scenario for a high school girl.
Yeah, like every every bullying incident you can possibly think of, it is in this book. But like regardless of like for me, like I would say like general impression, like I don't remember half the things that happened in this book. Maybe it's because like I read it like maybe like a week and a half ago and I kind of like read it all in one go.
It is a pretty like fast read. I remember it took me a little bit to get into it just because the first few chapters is very like
establishing.
Not just establishing, but very like I was like, oh, YA stuff. Like
about melodramatic.
It's about high homecoming
school.
Night yeah. and like first time with a boyfriend. I was like, ah. But like once
but that's like part of teenhood
yeah.
and it's meant for younger audiences. So.
No, I get it. But once it got into like the meat of the conflict, I was really into I was
once
like,
you,
I
once you
put
hit
it down.
Like
yeah.
chapter four, it's just like, oh, it goes.
Yeah.
But like when I went on Goodreads and I read like the reviews before I started reading the book.
Why?
I don't know.
Is
sometimes
that like a, is that a good strategy?
I mean, sometimes, but like, I guess for this book, I just felt like I needed. I think I read like the first chapter and then I read the reviews.
Okay.
Maybe it was because like I just wanted to know like what I was getting myself into.
That's
true. But like a lot of people, it was like a good mix. There were people who gave the book like a lower rating, but they said at the very top, like, I think everyone should read this book simply because it like breaks down intersexuality and like gender issues like really, really well.
Yeah.
But at the same time, they were like, I did not like this book. And they were very respectful about it. And that's really rare, by the way, when you see like a book with like a 2 or 3 star rating. But like the people and there were people who gave it like 4 or 5 stars.
Yeah.
And there were people and there were some people who were who were intersex. And they're saying like, it's so great to see someone who is my age with the same like same kind of struggles that I have. And that's why representation matters so much. So regardless of whether or not you like this book, I think it is definitely an important book in YA literature.
Up top, I want to say, like, I enjoyed the book. Like I said, once I got past the first few chapters, I was, like, into the conflict. Like, so just, like, on the very top, I want to say I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess we can, now that we just got our backgrounds out of the way, because like you know, like it colors our perspective. It's gonna color our opinion. So
I mean,
that's why I wanted to set that record straight.
Yeah, definitely. I was a little not uncomfortable, but a little like anxious to start, just because it was such unfamiliar territory for like what I usually read, which is good because it's a book club and we're supposed to do that. But yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, when I pick the books for book club, I try to pick books that, you know, I haven't read.
Mm-hmm.
But even if it's, like, a genre that I'm familiar with, I still try to, like, pick something that's a little bit different. And this was very different from what I usually read. But I guess we can get to, like, the story of it. So we open up with the introduction of our protagonist, Kristen Latimer,
who is a
track star.
Track star. She's a varsity hurdler. She has a scholarship to State, which I guess is probably, I don't know, SUNY or?
Yeah, I mean, this book takes place in
like fictional New York, right?
No, it's actually a real town.
Really?
Utica?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's actually the town that the author is from.
Okay.
Yeah. Sorry, I stalk the authors a little bit when I do research for books.
So a state like...
So it's like, it's kind of like upstate New York, I would say.
Yeah.
So it's like...
Rutgers? No, Rutgers is Jersey.
So like, I would say it's like upstate New York. I'm not exactly sure where it's geographically located exactly. Mm. Like, I don't know if it's like closer to Boston or like right. Connecticut, but...
There's like two main universities they talk about, the U and State, which it ultimately doesn't matter. She has a scholarship to university, a track scholarship. She is basically a part of this like three-girl crew.
Yeah. So like she's someone who, she's the quote-unquote it girl. Like she is popular, she is athletic, and
I mean, she's like,
she seems
it,
pretty smart too.
It adjacent, I want to say. Like isn't like her best friend V is kind of like the it girl. Okay. She's the queen bee.
Okay, so like, yeah. Well, she's in that crowd, I guess. And, you know, it establishes that she and her boyfriend, Sam, I think Sam is also a track star, or is he in football?
He's not a track star.
He's a track star. So they both, like, run every morning, and like, it's established that they've been dating for a while now, and they're going to homecoming together. And
they're totally going to do it.
Yeah, that is, like... Like straight off the bat, like chapter one, like they have sex. And I was actually really shocked by that because it's so rare to see like sex scenes in YA books.
Yeah.
And I was
like, first chapter was like a quarter of the book, I felt like.
Well, yeah. Yeah. But like I had to like put down the book for like a short, like 10 to 15 minutes. Cause I was just like, wait, what? Like, I know like she, like the character needs to have sex in order to find out that she is intersex because I found, because a
well,
lot
that's
of
like that's the triggering.
Yeah. That's like a lot of intersex teens. They find out that they're intersex because of that. But it was just like shocking. I was like, "What?"
It was the same as when I was reading when we were reading our first book pick, like Heroine Complex. When we got to the sex scene, I was like, "Oh,
yeah, yeah,
it was going there."
I was like, "Oh, it's going there." Okay, we kind of get like what kind of person Kristen is, but I guess we can move on to like.
Well, she's also well liked, so she wins Homecoming Queen in spite of her like. Bestie, BFF being like the obvious more like power girl.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So like she goes makes an appointment with like her gynecologist.
Her friend's gynecologist. So there's a lot of leaps in logic here. Like she's never seen a gynecologist despite being she's like 17 at this point. 18? She's a senior, right?
Yeah, she's like 17, 18,
Because she's never had a period. And then part of it is because they justify, it's because she runs track, so that's probably why, like, I don't know,
you run a lot, like, your periods are lighter, or you don't get them at all.
But also because her mother passed away from cancer, so she never had, like, she doesn't have that,
guidance.
Feminine guidance, I guess? Yeah. So.
I mean, like, that really was a leap in logic for me, not because she's never seen a gynecologist before, because I understand if you're from, like, a more... I guess conservative town, and it depends on your parents as well.
Well,
might like not understand that you need to go see doctors at like certain ages. But I found it really hard to believe that, you know, you're 17, 18. You're not growing body hair. You're not like you don't have a period. Like I feel like if I was 17, I would actually be really concerned. Like, I would probably go by myself I was in that person's shoes.
It seems like she has a healthy dose of, like, justification, like, self-justification of things that she's read or heard. Her dad seems to not be, unless he wants to learn about things, he doesn't really learn about things. And her aunt's kind of, like, aloof.
Yeah. I mean, like, I just got the feeling that the town was kind of, it was more on the conservative side,
yeah.
especially since, like, a lot of the people she knows go to church. Like, her mom went to church and,
yeah.
like, their family went to church. So it might just be that she's from, like, a more conservative background and she just didn't get the, I guess, like, medical guidance of, of like, there's something wrong. Like, you... Like, you can tell that something is different, but I guess, you know, going to a doctor is yeah. kind of scary. And
well, I mean, and her friends were always like, oh, you're so lucky, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I guess.
I don't know. Would that be something your friends notice? I don't know.
I mean, among girls, yeah. Like, you would notice because, like, I can relate because I come from like a semi-conservative town and like you can't really openly ask questions to adults. So the only way you can really find out about like things regarding your body, you ask your friends or you ask like
right.
older girlfriends for guidance.
And I guess everyone's kind of like a dumb teen anyway, so they can like, they believe what they believe.
Yeah, they believe what yeah. they believe. Yeah. But yeah, like she ends up going to her friend's gynecologist right. because she had like tremendous pain during like the first time she's trying to.
Well, not have because sex of that. Boyfriend. I think it's because she had sex, so she wants to like make sure she doesn't have STDs or.
Well, it wasn't because of that, because like they didn't even like quote unquote complete sexual intercourse because like
her... Right. Am I getting confused with her excuse?
Yeah, you might, yeah. But like she had tremendous pain during her first time because, and she knows that like that's normal because you hear stories. But yeah. at the same time, she's like, no, this was like my vagina was on fire. It was yeah. so bad. So like she goes to her gynecologist, and that's when she finds out her diagnosis. Like
yeah.
she has testes. She doesn't have a uterus. She doesn't have a cervix, and It was just like, it was really fascinating to read that scene though, because mm-hmm. I thought that was like the most accurate, like doctor patient.
Kind of like the doctor doesn't know what to say.
Yeah.
Like you can tell she's wrestling with like, how much do I tell this girl?
It was like, it was just so yeah. accurate as to like what happens when you go see a doctor and like, yeah. and they give you like consultation. But it was just really interesting because she's trying to explain the diagnosis to, you know, to Kristen, but mm-hmm. but like Kristen like just like cannot connect the dots.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, does that mean I'm gay? And it's just like, no, like, you know, gender is non-binary. And like she's and it's like, oh, well, does that mean like I'm transgender? And it's just like, no, you're a girl. Like
yeah
so like she's learning all these things about like
about how gender is like, gender is more of a social construct. So
yeah,
if you
yeah.
identify as a girl, then you're a girl.
Then you're a girl.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like she has like a very hard time
right.
like understanding it. And
it's, and her dad gets brought in.
And her dad gets brought in. Like every like teenage girl's nightmare, right? Like like your dad like listening to how your body is yeah. changing or like
And then all he cares about is the cancer risk.
Yeah, because her yeah. mom had died of cervical cancer.
Yeah.
And I thought that was really weird when, like, I'm jumping ahead when the dad is, like, doing a ton of research.
Yeah.
And he finds out that because Kristen doesn't have a cervix, he's like, oh, you can't get cervical cancer.
I felt like that was meant to be, like, a very poignant, like, kind of, like, a very...
I know that was supposed to be a poignant yeah. scene or moment, but I just found that really weird and funny at the same time. I'm like, wait, like I feel like your priorities are not.
Well, I guess it in is kind right of funny places. Too. Yeah, because it's like the dad is so like. I mean, the dad is he's an engineer, right? Or he's a mechanic, or what is he?
I honestly don't remember.
I mean, the dad is obviously very, very focused on whatever he puts his mind on, right? That's kind of his character trait, is he is like the Google master. He will search for every single shred of information on like your affliction, no matter what.
Yeah.
And his sole goal is to make sure that, yeah, like you won't die the same way your mom died.
Yeah.
That's like his whole...
But like, yeah. What I found it really hard to believe was like he found that out after all of that research, right? like 2-3 hours of research, right. And it's just like when the doctor was saying that she doesn't have a uterus and she doesn't have ovaries, I think you should have known like right then that like she doesn't have a cervix and yeah. She wasn't going to die of cervical cancer. I feel like the doctor would have explained that to him like right off the bat, but I just thought that moment was really odd.
I thought it was kind of like, it was, I don't know. I felt like it was an important scene.
Yeah, but like, yeah. But the scene with the doctor, I keep going back to this because mm-hmm. because like this is how a lot of teenagers who have like unique conditions like find out about their diagnosis, right?
One thing I really liked about the book too is it kind of went through all the different types of doctors that yeah. like treat like conditions like not conditions, but like are available. Right, you have the gynecologist, you have the urologist who does the surgery, and then you have the therapist who like makes sure mentally you're like doing okay.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And it just like I think what this book does well is really kind of identify all the different sources of support that a person going through this you know awakening has in their life, so they don't feel alone.
Yeah, like one line that really stood out to me was when Kristen was finding out that when she finds out her diagnosis and she realizes that she has male parts, mm-hmm. immediately she says like, "Oh, so I'm a hermaphrodite," and mm-hmm. like the doctor's like, "No, not exactly."
No, the doctor calls her hermaphrodite.
Oh yeah, right. Yeah, and then right, the doctor
immediately pulls it back.
You mean it's like
which is like the worst? Like I think that's that one line that doctor this. The doctor's the reason everything in this book happens because she says that one phrase.
Well, I could understand that actually happening though because mm. like of someone who like doesn't understand who doesn't have a lot of
right.
like, prior education on like human anatomy. It's just like okay, you're 17 years old. You're scared. You have no idea what's going on. Mm. So it's just like this is the quickest way for you to understand like what's the deal with your body. But then it's like but. Da, 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 da. Like
yeah
I mean hermaphrodite that word comes from like it comes from mythology right like it's like a I think the actual word like it comes from like a mythological creature with both like a fully functioning male and female body parts.
Okay.
And the thing is like medically that's not possible. You can't have a fully functioning like
actually, I think it is possible.
Is it possible? No, because like I read an article and it said like it's not possible to have fully functioning both like male and female body parts. That like that is a myth. Like there are different conditions to like being intersex, but uh-huh. like having like 100%.
I mean, functional in terms of like being able to reproduce, I'm not sure.
Yeah,
but I feel like I've read or heard a story of someone who like can. Like to have sex both ways.
Oh no, I'm not talking about like having sex both ways. Mm-hmm. I'm like saying like, oh, just like fully biologically, like
okay,
you, like it's like very hard to, like. But right, anyway, yeah, yeah. Like it's a word that is outdated and it's considered a slur and mm-hmm. like you know she's and Kristen has to like go through. I mean, I think Kristen is lucky in a way because she has like these adults around her who
yeah.
are very supportive and actually very open-minded. And
yeah.
I mean, we'll get into that further. But like, I was actually surprised by that because in my opinion, like,
yeah,
I feel like the adults would be less open-minded and the kids would be more progressive.
Well, given like what you know about her community as well,
I guess.
So. What ends up happening is, so she's dealing with this revelation and decides to go to a kegger with her friends
because
she wants
called?
To be normal.
Is that what the kids call it?
That's what we called it back in the day, a kegger. and in a drunken moment of drunkenness, I guess, she tries to have sex with Sam again and it doesn't work.
No, it does work the second time. Are you talking about Homecoming? Because Homecoming, like...
No, when the second time, like, after she starts...
The second time when they both get smashed, the hot tub party, mm-hmm. where, like, they have, like, sex in one of the... When,
The bedrooms, yeah.
The bedrooms, yeah. Like, she has sex with him, and he, like, ejaculates in her.
Oh, okay.
But the problem is, like it feels okay at first, but then, like...
It's still her, right?
Because he's not being, like, considerate. she kind of, like...
Well, she goes through the dialation process to kind of enlarge her. That's one of the things that the doctor told her. Is like, yeah, you have, like, a 3-inch vagina.
Yeah. I mean, like...
This is a very uncomfortable. Not uncomfortable. This is like, yeah. Anyways.
Yeah, but like she, like it's successful, but at the same time, like she is in so much pain during this process. And that was really uncomfortable for me to read because I'm just like, because I don't think it's right.
To put
yourself through pain during something that's supposed to be between like two people that are supposedly in love and respect each other and therefore respect each other's bodies. But
yeah.
You know, as it turns out, that Sam is kind of a jerk.
So she tells V, her queen bee best friend, and then they all go home afterwards. Like her friend V drives them, her and her friend Faith home. Faith is like the third member of their girl crew.
There's Kristen, V, and Faith. And that's the trio.
Yeah, and the three of them have been friends since they were, I guess, infants.
Friends for 18 years.
So. Yeah, because their parents all went to, was it yoga class or some, or was it even before, like Lamaze class or something?
It was like yoga class, like postnatal
yoga. So we get to the point where she tells her friend V, V takes him home, and then like... She passes out. Okay, so the important part in the story is she passes out drunk on her couch, right? And then she throws up all over it during her dream. And so her dad confiscates her phone.
And shuts down the internet, yeah.
Yeah. So she's kind of like operating blind for like...
Like a weekend, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not even that long.
But during that time, she also half reveals to Faith, her other friend, her more like mousy... just wants people to get along friend.
Yeah.
She
tells V first.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But after she gets confiscated, she also tells Faith.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah. Like after her phone gets confiscated, she like runs over to Faith's house and tells her in person. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And then she goes back to school the next day. Faith gives her a ride and finds out that the whole school knows.
What happens is like the morning of the day like she goes back to school, like she gets like a call or a text from Faith and she's just like, oh, I just wanted to make sure you're okay. And she's like, well, yeah, like, and like Faith kind of hints like, oh, like I hope people. You know,
yeah.
Like I hope people are okay with your diagnosis. Like I hope people believe the fact that you aren't like a dude.
Right.
Because like I think Faith had like this misconception of like, oh, like because you're intersex means that you're
like, actually a guy.
You're actually a guy.
But, and then she explains to her.
And then Faith is like, oh, well, I hope other people believe that too. And she's just like, what do you mean other people? And she checks her phone and she's getting all these notifications on her social media. And it turns out, like, there's, like, on Facebook...
People are photoshopping her face onto naked dudes.
Yeah, yeah. And, like, and it's getting, like, tons of likes. And when she goes to school, people are calling her a lot of...
They call her Christopher.
Christopher and a lot of slurs that I do not want to say on this podcast. But if you have read the book, they're bad. It's really bad.
And then the first thing she wants to do is just go straight to Sam. Right.
Yeah.
Like explain herself.
To explain herself.
Because I guess she realizes that Sam must know by now. And basically he's
like with his jock friends, like at his locker.
No. The jock friends come after.
Did they come after?
Yeah. She runs into him at his locker and he like looks at her like she's like a monster. Like, get away from me. I don't date dudes. And then... As she's trying to explain herself, the football dudes come, which include Bruce, which is V's boyfriend, and they make fun of not her as much as they make fun of him.
Yeah, they make fun of Sam. They're just like, oh, like you did it in the butt, and And they just assume that because Sam had sex with someone who is intersex, he's gay.
Yeah.
And it's just like, that's totally not correct. And like a lot of their taunts are coming from a place of ignorance. And
yeah.
Usually that like when it comes to bullying, I think that is like a typical case. Like a lot of people bully because they have no idea what they're talking about, and it's just easier to make fun of something that they don't understand.
They hear one thing, they connect it with another, and then they like blast you for it, right? Yeah. They hear, oh, you're not a girl, so you must be a dude, which means he had sex with a dude, so he must be gay.
Yeah, they're just like, oh, right. Where's your dick? And it's just like, she doesn't have one. Like they just immediately make all these like really wild assumptions.
Really, yeah, it gets really uncomfortable. And then she goes, like, basically, to her, the only person she told, who would have told Sam, was V, her BFF, her Queen Bee BFF. So she confronts her and then basically accuses her of telling everyone out of spite, right? Because I guess her best friend, V, was supposed to quote-unquote, win Homecoming Queen.
Mm-hmm.
But then Kristen won it instead. So she assumes that she's just, like, getting back at her.
Yeah.
For that, right?
Yeah, something like that. Something along those lines.
Something really, like, teen. Like, something teens would only say in, like, a...
Right, well, like, the assumption is because, like V is insisting, like, I did not tell anybody. And then, Kristen's like, are you sure? Like, not even one person? And V admits, okay, well, I told my mom because it was, like, too much for me to handle. And then it's just like, oh my God, you told your mom. and so, like, the assumption is that her mom...
Must have told Sam's mom,
and then like Sam's mom told Sam, or like rumors spread somehow through this.
Yeah, like, this and then one person. It's interesting because during that entire exchange, like every single movement that V makes is being seen as a sign of betrayal from Kristen's point of view,
mm-hmm.
right?
The
way she looks, the way she's like posturing herself, and so I think it's like probably 18 years of kind of putting up with her shit comes boiling up at the worst time. Right.
Yeah.
Because they're characterized as people who kind of like know each other's quirks.
Yeah.
Like knows how to push each other's buttons and knows how each other reacts to things.
Yeah.
Right?
So like the bullying really, really escalates pretty quickly. Like what went from like getting like Photoshop pictures on her social media, like it goes from that to like her locker being getting vandalized,
And then just to like stares and kind of asides from her classmates,
and like how like she needs Faith, her other best friend, to like walk her to classes, otherwise it's just not safe.
Mm-hmm.
And having and like just like going to class and like people like shrinking away from her.
Yeah. So basically like her whole life is essentially from her point of view falling apart. Right? Her social status is gone. Her boyfriend doesn't want her anymore. Like her boyfriend pretty much dumps her. And her
best friend, one of her best friends is like
betrayed her. And her the only other thing she can hang her hat on, which is her running, is also in jeopardy because, you know, schools are putting complaints that you can't, like, have a dude run girls' races.
Yeah.
And her scholarship is in jeopardy, too.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, like, I thought that part was, I thought that part was really ridiculous. The fact that her school was just like, oh, you, like, can't join, you can't be on track until we have, like,
this. Well, that makes sense. I mean, that's just school politics. Like, you can't have you compete if your status is, like, under investigation, right?
Yeah, but they say, like, quote-unquote under investigation, but then her dad is doing, like, mountains of Google research, right? And he finds out that you can't like kick someone off of an athletic team just because they're intersex. There's like an actual fine print.
Well, it's the NCAA rules, right?
Yeah.
But that happens afterwards. I feel like during that time, it makes sense. Like the coach is like dealing with like parental pressure.
I feel like her coach should have known the fine print. I feel like the school, like especially the school should have known like every should have known the fine print.
Public schools way too better, like way too much credit for knowing how to handle these
things. I am cynical. I think that they knew but they had parental pressure and they were like, oh, well, sorry, like you can't be on the track team. That's just like what my, like, that's just my perspective on how it went down.
But then afterwards, when like all she needed to do was show her coach proof and she's back on again.
Yeah. Right. Which I also thought was like a little bit too optimistic. I'm just like, are you kidding me? Like, I'm pretty sure like a conservative school like that would have like pushed it for like a year.
But yeah, like,
well, you're graduating in a year. Like, like what's the point? Like, I felt like that was wrapped a little bit too easily.
Yeah. Yeah. But then, yeah. So everything's basically taken away from her and she pretty much removes herself from school. Her guidance counselor allows her to do homeschooling for 6 weeks, right? That's like the deal. And if you want to extend that, you have to get a doctor's letter.
Yeah.
And so now we enter like the latter half of the book, which is basically her pretty much finding her support and getting her life back in order.
We skipped a very crucial part though, because like she, like right after she gets her diagnosis, like she keeps insisting like, I want my testes removed, like I want my boy parts to be cut off, and and like her doctors are just like, you can't just do that, like it is a very big decision and like a lot of like there's a lot of like moral like moral issues with doctors doing that, because for a long time like surgeons would like just do corrective, quote unquote, corrective surgery on like babies who were born intersex, and that's not allowed anymore.
Because it affects like, because whether or not you're male or female, your body needs, especially as a teen, as like someone going through puberty and still developing, you need the hormones to help you, you know, maintain balance. And whether or not that's estrogen or testosterone, you need that. And if you remove it, then like
you have to take medication forever. And it's just like, well, once you keep taking medication, like you don't know the side effects. You don't know how your body, especially at such a young age, you don't know how your body's going to develop.
I thought that was a really interesting part. Like, again, like I mentioned before, this is kind of like what Kristen goes through in this book is like the worst case scenario for someone her age. To find out about her gender at that point in time, and to have like everyone known, like have all this pressure. Like I think, so later on, she meets Gretchen, which is another
intersex
girl through her the support group, right? Who like wrote like a 17 article about being intersex, and basically she was kind of horrified to learn that Kristen had removed her testes.
Yeah, so soon after her diagnosis, too.
And it goes to show, I know why the author wrote that part, because it, like in that moment, in like her like panicking, like in this like very, very trying time, that would be what someone would want to do.
Yeah.
What I don't get is, what I wish would have happened was that her dad or her like, because was she 18 yet? Like, she shouldn't have power of attorney yet, right? Like, shouldn't it still be her parents' decision? Or
no, I think she was 18. Right? Okay, like, yeah, because I feel like she wouldn't have been able to go to the gynecologist in the first place without a parent if she was under 18.
Yeah.
But like, you know, in the context, like it makes sense because she's being bullied. Her decision,
from her frame of mind, wants everything to get back to normal.
Yeah, like her identity has, like her choice was taken away, like pretty much because of all the bullying, and also like she, like it with Gretchen, like when she found out that she was intersex, like it was from a very young age, and like no one knew about it.
She didn't have to tell anybody.
Like the only people who knew were like her parents, and she had time to like really think about like her sexuality, her gender, and like go to school and learn about like gender studies, and
well, even her identity, right? Because like I think part of it is Kristen, like for the 18 years of her life, identified as female, wanted to like, saw herself as female and saw that the testicles as something that's like foreign, right? It's like not female. So if you get rid of it, it'll bring her one step closer to being what she was supposed to be.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Cause like she finds out that like when the doctor says like, oh, like intersex women, like you, they usually identify themselves as female. And like, you know, she takes, like when she first hears that, she immediately assumes, like, I am a girl.
Yeah.
But she realizes later that it's not that concrete. It's...
She has a hard time...
It's identification. Yeah. It's different for each person. And, like... Like, it...
Yeah, she has a hard time... Like, she has a hard time comprehending the phrases, like, identifying as a gender or, like, working through... Like, living through a diagnosis, right? Like, there were a lot of passages where she's kind of fixated on, like, what those words actually mean and not understanding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, she decides to have the surgery with her doctor saying, don't do this. But, you know, like, if this is, like, truly what you want, and if you read all of, like,
yeah,
all the paperwork and understand the risks that you're taking, then okay, fine. Like, this is your decision. We can't really stop you, but yeah. Okay. I mean, that is a little bit controversial, but I think in the context of the story and Kristen's situation, like, I think we can understand why she made such a rash decision. But
I think in terms of just how it serves the story, it makes sense why it was there too.
This is fiction, you guys. Yeah. Like, as like accurate as it can be when it comes to, like, medical stuff.
But I was still like, yeah, don't do that. Why? What are you doing? I was
just like, don't do it. You just found out that you were intersex like 2 weeks ago. Let's
slow down. Pump the brakes here.
But she gets the surgery, and, you know, she gets and she kind of uses that as like, I don't want to say excuse, but, like, for lack of better words, uses that as an excuse to not go back to school.
Yeah.
Like, because honestly, like, the surgery is not that like, the surgery isn't going to make her bedridden for, like, a month. Like,
yeah.
She can go back to school within a couple of days. But she doesn't, and yeah. She doesn't take her medication. She doesn't take her estrogen pills.
Yeah,
I don't know why, because it's.
I guess it's just also part of her denial. Or
yeah, it's
her,
part of, like, denial. Yeah. I understand, but at the same time, I'm like, if I was having, like, side effects and I was just, like, being fatigued and, yeah, like, there was medication that would, like, fix that for me, then yeah, I would take it.
Well, I mean, it's estrogen, so, like. I mean, in her mind, probably she's still thinking, I'm female. Like, I don't need this.
Okay, surgeon, yeah. Right?
And then, yeah, like, during her downtime, she ends up back at Sam's place. That's also a driving force of why she got the surgery. Because she wants to, like, make herself back into a girl so she can get back with her wife. Like, getting back with Sam was, like, a big driving factor in a lot of her, like, more brash decisions.
Which, right, I really did not like. It was really painful to read those parts. And it's like, why are you making your decisions based on your romantic relationship with your ex-boyfriend? Like the decision should be for yourself. But I guess you shouldn't look at Kristen's situation as, like, you're my role model.
I mean, I've seen, like, enough dumb teens in love to know that, like... It's
definitely
the biggest deal in the world, probably.
Definitely her decisions, like, read to me as, like, a cautionary tale. It's like, don't do this.
Yeah.
Rather than, like, oh, like, do this. Like, yeah, this is, it's okay. Like don't decide to get major surgery because of your boyfriend. Yeah. Or
well, and then she decides to quit Facebook, which was probably one of the first good decisions she makes.
Okay, like, I have to mention that. The bullying is so different now compared to, like, when I went to school.
Yeah, definitely when I went.
Yeah, yeah, for, like, social, like, because Facebook didn't come out until, because for a while Facebook was only for college students.
Yeah,
and it only became, like, open to high schoolers when back in, like, 2007, I think. So
yeah,
like, I was already at the tail end of, like, my high school years. And
I joined Facebook in 2003 when it first became available to my college.
Oh my God. Yeah. I mean, Facebook back then was pretty crude. So it wasn't like you can, like, Photoshop things and have.
Well, it took a while until you can even put pictures up. Like, at first, it was just your picture and, like, a wall.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, bullying has become, like, in my opinion, like, 10 times worse, because at least.
Well, it's almost easier to get your, like, get stuff out, whether or not they're true or not.
Yeah,
like, it's so easy to, like, because back in my day, like, rumors were spread, like, face to face.
Yeah, face to face.
At the very least, on, like, forums that, like, only, like, maybe 50% of school went on, because we didn't have internet back then. We had net zero, and we had to wait until
AIM chat rooms.
Like, I had to, like, yeah, people would create fake AIM screen names to go harass people, but you had to know their screen name as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think the reason why I say it's worse now because of cyberbullying is because people you don't even know are gaining access to your information. And most of the time it's false information. And it's just so easy to like tarnish people's reputations before they even fully develop as a person. Because now I am so glad that I did not go to high school when like Instagram was a thing, because oh my God, the difference in like standards is just like, oh, like, you know what people are doing all the time. And like, that's really frightening, because that's easy to make someone an outcast, because it's just like, oh, you weren't at this party, or like, oh, like you're, I just think it's really frightening frightening to think about the speed that which information is getting like passed along. Because even with like rumors, like face-to-face rumors, it takes time for that rumor to actually do some damage.
And it's like isolated within like social groups.
Yeah, with social groups.
So like, if you don't care what that social group thinks,
yeah,
and there's no way that social group will like, you know, tell other people. Like, it's isolated. It's like, it's quarantined.
Yeah. And also it's just like, you get bullied at school and then you come home and it's kind of almost like a safe haven without the internet. But once the internet is there, it's like,
it's always on now.
It's always on now. And also, you can't delete stuff from the internet. Like, that is like on your permanent record. That's terrifying.
Yeah. But yeah, she closes her Facebook account, and then basically, like we said, the latter half of the book is basically her putting her life back together, kind of realizing where she has support, realizing where she can find confidence in herself, because a lot of it is like, she's always seen herself through being a part of her like her friend group, her like three amigos, or amigas, I guess. Like, a major event during that time is her like going out on her own for the first time.
After the surgery, right?
Yeah. And like getting dolled up and like going to a bar and like picking up a dude who comes back later.
Like we hear from Gretchen, her mentor, her intersex mentor, that a lot of intersex women, when they find out their diagnosis, like right after, they try to prove their femininity, whether it's like getting like dolled up or like making out with a guy or something. They do it so they feel more feminine. But she says, I think I have the quote right here, "The biggest difference between boys and girls is how people treat them." So like she's trying to explain to Kristen, like this idea of like what a girl should be, it's just how people treat them. Like, so like, if you think you're a girl, you're a girl. And that doesn't mean that you have to like prove it by like going to a bar and making out with a stranger. Also, I found that really creepy. I was like, it's like, you're 17, 18 years old. Like, what are you doing? Like, going to a club by yourself and like trying to be with a guy that you don't know.
I was bracing myself, because that's like a bad, like, there's no...
It's how murders happen.
She starts working at a clinic, mainly to get to avoid her friends, who she still thinks betrayed her.
Well, like, her school is just like, oh, in order to graduate, you need to do this many like community service hours.
Yeah.
And like, the community service that she originally was a part of was
with her friends.
With her friends, and that was like a Big Brothers and Big Sister.
Yeah,
Big Sister. So she's just like, okay, what can I do that is far away from the school, from everybody else that I know? And like, she picks the clinic, which is like in the
free clinic in like the wrong, quote unquote, wrong side of the neighbor.
Yeah. It's like a very like underfunded clinic. And I would say like after her surgery, it's definitely like a stage in Kristen's life where, if I strip away all the things that are outside of just me, like, then who am I? Like, you're trying to find out your identity without like associating yourself with other people or even associating yourself with other things. Like, if you take away track, like, what kind of person am I? And that's something that her therapist brings up. And also, yay, therapy. Oh my God. Like, it's like, it made me like, it was so refreshing to like see a therapist that was actually good in a book. Cause it's just like, therapists get such a bad rep. And a lot of people say like, oh, I don't need to go see a shrink. Like, why should I go? Like, talk to them about my problems or whatever. Like, I can figure things out on my own. It's a waste of money. Whatever. As someone who, like, did therapy for a number of years, like, no, like, go to therapy.
Yeah. I mean, even Kristen at first was like, I don't want to be one of those people who, like, has to go to therapy.
Yeah. Like, there's, like, something, like, shameful about it. But yeah. I really liked how her therapist really, like, it wasn't just like, oh, I'm just going to listen to your problems. It was really nice that, like, her therapist was actually good.
And, she was, like, active. She was, like, asking
questions. Like, she was very active, asking questions and, like giving her homework. And
yeah, which is why, like, I feel like this book does a really good job, like, kind of highlighting what support people in this situation can have and what a good therapist looks like. So that you know, like, if you have a shitty one, they can change it.
It was really nice that, her surgeon mm-hmm. was just like, you need to go see a therapist. Like, this is like, just because you fix, like, quote unquote, fix, like, you take care of your physical self doesn't mean that you're okay. Yeah. You really need to take care of your mental health as well.
And then she also finds support in, I guess, her Darren, who's kind of the actual love interest of the book, I guess the character was, his mom dated her dad for a while.
Yeah.
They kind of set him up as like a kindred soul, a kindred spirit, mm-hmm. because his dad had come out as gay, like, X amount of years into the marriage and kind of became like the town scandal. And he had to deal with his stuff. So that was one of the things that they kind of bonded over, was seeing a therapist, because he had to see one too for his issues. Like, reconciling his father's homosexuality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like, Darren says, like, a really poignant quote, too. It's like, mm. oh, love isn't a choice. We fall for the person, not the chromosomes. Mm. And I think that's really, really true. Because, you know, like, I think it was... I really liked Darren as a character. But I really didn't like him as a love interest.
Yeah, he's kind of like one of those, like... cool nerd dudes that like I can like relate to, and he ran cross country, which I also did, so go cross country bros. But
I just felt like I mean we're jumping ahead. I really didn't want to like start criticizing the book until like much later on in this episode, but I guess because I brought it up,
I mean we're already pretty far in, so
yeah, like I really did not like him as the love interest.
It was too convenient, I thought.
Yeah, like I don't know, like, he had a girlfriend, and then the girlfriend dumps him because she's like, oh, I know you like Kristen. And I'm just like, really? Like, that is so...
I like him as a love interest, but I feel like in, like, the future book of this series or something, like, maybe in college or, like, reconnecting afterwards, or, like, maybe they go to the same college and they, like, bond there. Or, I don't know. Like, I liked him as a... I liked him as a foil, not a foil. I liked him as a companion for Kristen. I can see how they would end up together potentially. Mm-hmm. I felt like putting together like right before the end of the book
was like honestly, I think like Kristen as a character, she needed a friend more than like a new boyfriend.
Yeah.
And that's why I was like a little bit disappointed that it was like, oh, like boyfriend now. Like it would have been better if they
I mean they were dropping hints like throughout the entire book.
I know, but it just I was like, this is unnecessary. But I respect it. Okay. Like yeah. it was a creative choice and I understand like why the author decided to go that route. But speaking of good friends,
yeah,
okay, let's talk about her two friends, V and Faith, because right. like we find out some pretty
so
surprising news in the third act. I think
we find out that so she decides to go on her own and just drive. I think was she planning to go to the club, or I don't know what she was planning to
do. Oh, you mean when when she confronts them. Okay, I remember this.
She had turned down an invite to go watch the new James Bond movie.
Yeah, she turned down. So it was like Darren's group of friends, mm-hmm. and she's like, "Oh, I don't want to." Like she's like, "Well, I don't really want to go." But yeah. at the same time, like when she was at home, like all of her family members, they had their own plans. And she's like, I'm not going to stay home by myself, like, on like a Friday night. It's just sad. So she gets dressed up and she decides to go to a club by herself. And mm-hmm. that's when she sees V and
Faith
right. in line.
For the first time in like weeks.
Yeah.
And so she decides to confront them again because she doesn't want like V. She wants V to apologize for telling everybody. And then we find out that it was actually Faith that told Sam.
Yeah.
And that Faith was like, there's some hints on it. There was some foreshadowing about that too in like previous interactions. But yeah, Faith was like basically like afraid that she'd be mad. So she didn't tell her and blah, blah, blah. Like, it's like really like kind of.
Yeah, like she, like when she finds BS, out yeah. that Kristen is intersex, she calls Sam yeah. thinking that he already knows about her condition, but it turns out he doesn't.
Yeah.
And that's how the rumor gets spread. I although mean, it's not very clear on like.
Why she called Sam? Why would she call Sam?
Well, I understand like calling Sam, like calling your friend's boyfriend, but like I.
Also, yeah, how did Sam tell, like, why would he tell?
I just don't know school. How the school found out. Yeah. And like how like the cyberbullying. I was trying to figure this so out
because the only logical reason I can think of is that the school finding out came from V or it came from Sam. Maybe Sam posted something on Facebook and then took it down, but never saw it. Or I don't know.
I feel like, okay, so what I think is like Faith called Sam mm-hmm. thinking that like Sam is traumatized because he like had sex with a dude, but yeah. like, you know, she doesn't have the correct information. And, you know, Sam doesn't know. And then he finds out. He tells his friends, and as we know, his friends are kind of dickbags.
Yeah.
And
but his friends include Bruce. Well, this is one. So there are two plot holes
that I saw. Oh, we're going into plot holes?
No, there are two things that I don't understand.
Okay.
So one thing is, well, not plot holes. Okay. There's two things that, there's one thing that I would have liked to see more of, which was like, in the end, like the trio makes up. Her and her BFFs make up, and then V like is characterized as a like, oh, I always knew you were gonna get over it, and now that you're over it, we can all be friends again. Which like also is a little convenient, but at the same time, I would have liked to have kind of had some glimpse into like how she dealt with everything. Like, how does she deal with her boyfriend Bruce, the quarterback, being a jerk to?
Yeah, jerk her best to friend, her best friend that she's known like, for 18 years.
Yeah, like, it would have been nice to see, like, oh, I broke up with that dick, or... I guess I want to see some more proof that she's this, like, all-knowing friend that she's characterized as. Like, this, like, kind of too cool for school. Like, I knew you would come back eventually. The other thing is, not a plot hole, but, like, when Kristen meets, like, runs to Sam's house and meets her mom, and, like, realizes her mom doesn't know... Wouldn't that have been like the exonerating like event that like V's mom didn't tell her mom?
Yeah, I think that would have been like.
Maybe I'm just like playing like 3D level chess in like a a checkers type situation here, but
like I mean, I think you brought up like really good points because I actually thought of those things too while I was reading it. But aside from those points, when she is confronting her friends and she finds out that Faith was the source
yeah.
of the leak. But like Faith is just like, I'm so sorry. Like I didn't mean to. Like, forgiveness is earned so quickly. And and actually, like, I mean, I know that's a good thing. Like, forgiveness is a really big theme in this book. Mm-hmm. Like, in order to like move forward, you need to like in order to like really empathize with people, like, you need to forgive them first. And yeah. like I understand that is a theme, but oh my god, like, going through that much crap in school, like, I would not be able to easily forgive my friend that way. And also, like,
well, it's Faith, you know, it's just Faith.
Oh, like,
she's always like that.
And also, like,
how can you be mad at her?
And also just like with I forgot what I was gonna say, something about V. Oh man, no, I honestly didn't understand
why they were friends.
But well,
they've been friends since they were babies.
I guess like the resolution to like,
I think it's one of those things where like maybe it's better if we don't dig too deep into this relationship.
Okay, like what I didn't like I would understand if they were like maybe like 14 or 15 years old, because like I think you are able to like patch things up pretty quickly.
Right.
But like when you're like 18 years old, I think it's really hard to forgive people for things of that scale.
Mm.
I feel like there should have been more time.
Yeah.
But like we didn't get that time. We were towards well, also, the end of the book.
Like you never see any like, well, you see over amounts of sympathy from Faith, but you never see any sympathy from V.
Yeah, you don't really see any sympathy from V.
Right. So or empathy.
Yeah, or empathy. And yeah. like also like I was really bothered when like they're in the car and they're like talking about how like V and Faith are like, you've been just locking yourself in your house and being a recluse. Like,
yeah.
you need to get over yourself. Like, what would your mom say? Like, I had really big issues with that, mainly because I replaced like Kristen's medical condition with my medical condition. And I'm just like, oh my God, if my friends came up to me and just like, oh, you've been locking yourself up in the house because like you're depressed and like you need to just get over yourself, like yeah. move on with life. Like, that is, I think that's putting pressure in the wrong way. It's not positive. Yeah. It's not encouraging. And actually, I've had like, I've departed away from friendships that have done that to me, where they're like, oh, like you need to get over yourself. Mm. Like, so what? Like whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And I'm just like, fuck you. Like, like whatever doesn't kill you, like almost kills you.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, what's that quote that Darren said? Who was just like, oh, don't you wish that you can punch the person who made up the quote, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words yeah. will never hurt me. I'm just like, yeah, I really do wish I could punch someone.
Well, there's a lot of those, like the whole like pain is weakness leaving the body. Like, oh, I remember oh my God. That bullshit, like is, how to train harder high school stuff.
It's just so much. Like it's crap, it's unhealthy, and that's what I thought about that resolution. I was like, it's unhealthy. I don't think her friends were supporting her in the way that they should have been, but also I understand you're in high school, so
yeah,
like, relationships aren't fully like they're not there yet.
I feel like the relationships she built with Gretchen and with her, like the support group that she builds, like at some point I feel like that becomes stronger than like, did she really need this like old support group? I guess it doesn't hurt
to yeah, it
have
doesn't
your
hurt.
Friends
yeah.
support you, but like, yeah, it felt like she probably could have been fine with or without that being resolved, right?
Yeah. I mean, one thing I probably would have liked to see, liked to have seen more was like, you know, she finds out that Gretchen, her intersex mentor, is a lesbian. Mm-hmm. And she was like, she assumed that she was straight, like
yeah.
right off the bat. And she's like, oh, I'm so sorry that like I assumed that. I thought like maybe Kristen would explore her sexuality more because she is in such a confused state. I thought she would ask Gretchen more questions or at least try to experiment herself. But I mean, I get it, like you yeah. only have so much time in like a YA book, and you have, and like there were already so many things happening in this book.
I feel like if there was a sequel to None of the Above, that would probably be part of it, kind of like the yeah. further exploration of being intersex in a more like in college, right? In the college, like we said, like in the college,
yeah.
New, like liberal college environment where like you find out a lot more about yourself, who you are, and what yeah. your wants and needs, and you're more open to accepting that.
Yeah.
Or potentially. Not always.
I mean, we mentioned that dude that she meets at the bar for the first time after she had her
yeah, that's our like surgery. Climax scene.
That's yeah. our climax scene. And I don't know about you, Marvin, but I was really uncomfortable reading that scene.
It was like the guy was just such a huge jerk. And that scene was it was very violent.
It was very violent, yeah. Like I mean,
So basically the scene is the guy she picks up on her one night in the club, she runs into him again at another club, at a concert, right? Or like a...
It was like a concert.
Like an EDM concert yeah. or something. And then he like pieces it together that she's Kristen Latimer, the, you know, the intersex person from the high school that his younger sister, I guess, runs against.
Yeah.
And then he starts just being like just the biggest jerk. Like, let me see your penis. Like, where are you hiding it? And like, just
starting like ripping her clothes like, off. And it seemed really like cartoony. But at the same time, I'm like, no, like this actually
you
happens.
Hear stories you about can't, like, yeah, like, people, yeah. Like, he takes her out into the alley and like pretty much just like beats her up.
Yeah. Right. Okay. So like, that was really uncomfortable, and the thing is, like, you should be uncomfortable reading this book. Like, it teaches you that kind of behavior is not okay, and I'm really glad that Gregorio wrote that in. Mm-hmm. But what I was really upset about in that scene was Darren shows up as like a white knight to rescue her, and I was like, dude, what about the people who she came with? Like, what about Gretchen and like her girlfriend? Like, they should have been the ones who like. Got her out of that situation, but
yeah, like maybe they should have noticed that she wasn't with them anymore. And well, no, because how didn't she was her wingman left her right with the guy,
yeah, Gretchen's girlfriend.
Yeah. I guess they should have probably paid attention to her since they were setting her up with random dudes.
She just kind of disappeared, and yeah. I was just like, wait, like what. Like, I'm guessing that Gretchen's girlfriend, I think her name was, like, Julian?
I don't remember.
Something with a J. But, like, you're in your 20s, right?
Yeah.
Like, and you're leaving a girl alone in a bar with a stranger? Like, you're not even gonna, like...
Yeah, like, isn't there some sort of, like, kind of, like, protection, like, protocol or something going on? Or,
yeah.
I don't know.
I don't, like, I mean, I'm not the type to like go to clubs or bars, but like back in my day, like I went to school in Manhattan, and like I would go to bars with my girlfriends, and there would be situations where like they, you know, they want to
like separate you, yeah, or like pull you aside, or
yeah, they want to like hook up, right? Mm-hmm. I would never just leave them by themselves. I would probably like keep a good eye on them, because you're like intoxicated and there's like so many things can go wrong. It's just like I just think that like if you go with a group of girls, chances are they're not gonna leave you by yourself. Like do some like vetting. It just seems like Gretchen's girlfriend was just like, oh, cute guy, okay, I'm gonna leave now. Like, she didn't vet the guy at all, and it was like, that was a little bit upsetting. But
that's true.
Yeah.
But yeah, so she gets through, she doesn't really get rescued by Darren, right? Because he doesn't really, like, he's kind of ineffectual, isn't he? Or,
well, Darren comes out,
yeah,
and, you know, the guy stops, like, tearing her clothes because he's, like, distracted, and mm-hmm. then, Kristen kicks him in the nuts, and
yeah,
that is, like, how that situation is right. resolved.
And then,
but
I guess that's the night that he tells her that, like, he's in love with her. She's
okay. Let's just not talk about that. Let's just skip. Okay. Like,
okay.
No.
So,
she, like, her dad finds out that, he finds out that she's been being bullied in school, and that's why she doesn't want to go back to school.
Yeah.
But I think we talked a lot about her bullying already, yeah. So I'm just going to move on. But he finds out that it's kind of illegal for her to be taken off of the track team because of her intersex status. And, you know, she's able to go back onto the track team because of that.
Mm-hmm.
And
it also makes it so that she won't lose her scholarship.
Yeah, she won't lose her scholarship.
Yeah.
But I think we'd be remiss to, like, not mention the main example of an intersex runner
mm-hmm.
in this book. So, like,
they make a lot of references to...
Caster Semenya.
Yeah.
She was a runner from South Africa, and she was the 2016 gold medalist.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it was back in like 2009, 2010, like she had to go through a gender verification test,
mm-hmm.
and they found out that she was intersex, and she had to halt all of her running events.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, I was actually really shocked by some of the facts I learned, like how athletes would have to walk out naked and like like they would get hit in the like the pelvis area to see if like they're a guy or not. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's like that was a little bit I was shocked. I learned a lot.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of the big, I know one of the cases they kind of brought up again and again, just because of the her identity as a runner as well. So like after the attack, she kind of, I forgot, how does she get back? How does she come to the decision to go back to school? Like there's a moment where she just decides that she's ready to go back, right? And was it that Darren gives her the strength to like face her demons, or was there something else?
Well, the ending of the book is that she makes a new profile, a new Facebook profile.
Yeah.
And like,
she tells her friends that to pick her up for school the next day.
Yeah. Yeah. So like she's made like a new Facebook profile because like Gretchen was like, you like had to, because she was bullied, a lot of her choices on like who she is, like that was taken away. So she's saying like, well, one way you can like reclaim your identity is to like kind of sever the really toxic relationships.
Yeah.
And you know, she gets like all of her old photos back from her previous Facebook profile, and then she like makes a new one. And I don't really know what, if there is like one specific event that makes her want to go back to school.
I guess it's just like, yeah, it's a culmination of all her,
like, one, she's not gonna lose her track scholarship, and in order to keep that she needs to go back to school.
Yeah. And she's over Darren. No, she's over Sam. She's over Sam now that she has Darren.
She has her two former
best friends back.
Yeah.
And she has her support.
Yeah, life is good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess overall, what did you think? I mean, do you read a lot of LGBTQ novels, I guess?
Not really. I don't. It's not something I seek out. I mean, I've read like think pieces
and I've long form articles. Yeah, I've read think pieces and essays and long form.
And like, you know, I've learned from talking to my friends who are LGBTQ. But I don't. I think this is the first novel that I've. I mean, I've watched movies, you know.
Yeah.
Like our friend Under Arms on Spa Night, you can watch on Netflix, and things and movies like that, like Moonlight, and you know, but yeah, this is my first time reading a novel like this, and I mean, like I said, I enjoyed the book. Like once the central conflict got going, it was hard to put down because like, you get invested in like her, you know, not being so hard on herself, and you know, like what's going to happen with her and her friends and her relationships. And it's definitely it was a very easy book to read. Like I got through it in like a little over a day. Yeah.
Yeah. I read this in a day too. And I don't know if it was because it was like quote unquote easy to read, but for me it was just like, I need to just get through this. This is really hard. because a big chunk of the book is on like discrimination and on bullying and
I mean
like,
the subject matter was definitely tough. I was just saying I say easy to read more as like the narrative really flowed.
Prose was like a lot easier than like I guess like adult literary novels, and it makes sense, it's YA. But like when I told Dan like the log line for this book, he was like, are you gonna be okay? because I've gone through a lot of like really serious bullying growing up, and he was just like, are you okay? Like will this trigger a lot of a lot of bad memories? And that's like one reason why I have not watched 13 Reasons Why.
Yeah.
Like I will probably never watch that show because it's just, there's a lot of triggering factors to it. And so like I guess like for me, like I was like, I need to read through this quickly because like a lot of like the discrimination that was like in the book, it was just like, it was bad. So I was just like, I just need to get to the end, like run, like
yeah. Well, I mean, in the end, I'm glad I read it.
Yeah.
Even with, you know, the I mean, it sounds like we were like really down on the whole the romance stuff in here, but from my perspective, it's more just because.
Well, the romance wasn't like the heart of the book.
Yeah, it wasn't the heart.
It was really not the meat of the book, and that's why I'm like upset about it. But
no, and for me, it's more like I guess that kind of stuff just seems cheesy to me. I don't know. But yeah, thanks to I.W. Gregorio for writing a great book, for putting the story on the paper. And I'm sure the author has gotten a lot of like good, great feedback from people.
If you want to learn more about about intersexuality, I would definitely go check out I.W. Gregorio's website. Mm-hmm. If you just type in her name, like it'll be like the first result. But on her website, she has like links to like medical statistics and also like videos. So if you want to learn more about the topic, definitely go check that out.
Awesome.
Also, she's one of the founding members of We Need Diverse Books.
Right, which is
Like she's definitely like a big supporter of having not just Asian American voices in literature, but also like, you know, LGBTQIA and disabled people. So
yeah,
it's like, you know, intersectionality, like please support other minorities and marginalized voices in literature. It's really important.
Speaking of We Need Diverse Books, Rira, what's our book pick for the month of July?
Oh, give me a second. So our book for July will be Exit West by Mohsen Hamid, and it's adult literary fiction.
Okay.
And it's fairly new. It came out at the end of 2016, so I think it's still in hardcover, but I'm sure you can get it at a discount somewhere.
Cool. What's it about?
In the book jacket says, in a country teetering on the brink of civil war, two young people meet. They embark on a furtive love affair and are soon cloistered in a premature intimacy by the unrest roiling in their city. When it explodes, turning familiar streets into a patchwork of checkpoints and bomb blasts, they begin to hear whispers about doors. Doors that can whisk people far away, if perilously and for a price. As the violence escalates, the couple decide that they no longer have a choice. Leaving their homeland and their old lives behind, they find a door and step through. Wow. So, magical realism.
Okay.
In, like, a Civil War-torn country.
Sounds cool.
Yeah.
I'm excited
Very
to read
different
it.
From this book.
You can catch... We'll put a link to this, to the book, on our Books and Boba bookstore, which you can find a link to in the show notes. It's our Amazon affiliate store where you can purchase books featured on our podcast and send, like, a couple cents our way. Any purchase is greatly appreciated, and thank you for being supporters of our podcast. One more thing before we go, if you have any further discussion for this book or any of our other book picks, you can always post to our Goodreads forums. Go to goodreads.com and join the Books and Boba group. There we can further discuss our books, and also, you know, if you have any book suggestions or questions for myself or Rira, please let us know.
Like literally it can be any book questions, like on how to organize a bookshelf to like recommending books to people.
Yeah.
Like anything. Send us tweets.
Yeah. And on that note, that'll do it for this episode of Books and Boba. I hope you enjoyed our discussion of I.W. Gregorio's None of the Above. We'll see you next time. This episode of Books and Boba was hosted by Marvin Yue and Rira Yu, and produced and edited by Marvin Yue. For further discussion on the books covered at Books and Boba, please visit our Goodreads forum. You can find the link on our Facebook page at Books and Boba, as well as by searching for the group Books and Boba on Goodreads.com. Don't forget, you can purchase your monthly Books and Boba book pick, as well as other books mentioned on the podcast, by going to the Books and Boba bookstore at bit.ly/bobabooks. Books and Boba is also a proud member of the Potluck Podcast Collective, a brand new collective of Asian American podcasts and podcasters. You can learn more about the collective as well as check out our founding slate of programs by visiting the website www.podcastpotluck.com. Hey, if you like this podcast, check out the newest show from the Potluck Podcast Collective.
Hello, and welcome to the creatively named Korean drama podcast, where we are watching the hit drama Boys Over Flowers and talking about it with a few friends. Yeah. Like, they're just very rich and they're beautiful, right?
Yeah.
The entire first episode, I feel like, mostly features them walking through doorways or walking into place, right?
Right.
People are screaming and they're walking. That's the only thing that those four guys do practically the entire episode.
Who at this point, watching this drama in episode two, would ever be like, Tandy and Perm Boy need to be together at this point, right?
I'd be like, I
detest this guy.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm rooting for her and Ringo at this point.
Ringo needs some love.
Yeah. I like Pottery Guy.
All right, what did I get myself into?
You're committed.
I'm very committed, you guys.
New episodes of the Korean Drama Podcast drop every Tuesday at podcastpotluck.com.